Now the main location of the sugya of Shabbi Anafshe Chatichat Yisura is the Gemara on Ksubos on Daf Tes through Daf Yud. Now that's a bit ironic because, well, as we will see, the Gemara itself never actually says the words Shabbi Anafshe Chatichat Yisura in that case. Rashi is the one who introduces it, but this is traditionally the place where everybody studies the sugya. Now before we start reading the Gemara, a couple of pieces of background information that will help us understand the Gemara, they can be found on page 2. Just a couple of concepts to introduce before we even begin reading the Gemara, so we don't have to, once we read the Gemara, once we begin reading, we can read it smoothly and thoroughly. The first concept I want to introduce is Eshes Ish Shezinsa. If a halachically married woman engages in a consensual marital affair, there is a prohibition against the resumption of normal married life with her husband. She is Asurala. So if there is a marital affair, the woman has a relationship with somebody else, she can no longer return to her husband. That's the din of Ishto Zinsa. Point number 2. This applies after the completion of the Erusin stage of halachic marriage, even if the Nisuin has not yet been performed. That's going to be an important point for our Gemara. Halachic marriage consists of 2 stages. One is the Erusin. In our weddings, that's performed by taking a ring, or for Sfardim, a coin, saying, Harei at mikudeshas li b'taba'asu k'das Moshe v'Yisrael, and placing it on the woman's finger. That is that with in the presence of 2 witnesses. That is the first stage of Jewish marriage called either Kiddushin or Erusin. There's a second stage of Jewish marriage called Nisuin. What exactly Nisuin is much more nebulous. The Gemara and Mishnah doesn't define it nearly as clearly as Kiddushin. For our purposes, we'll assume that it's the chuppah, the canopy. That's the Ramah says that it's the chuppah, the canopy that we have. There are a whole host of different dayos. According to the Rambam, it's yichud. That's why we have a yichud room after the wedding as well. But there are 2 stages of Jewish marriage. After the first stage, after Kiddushin, if this woman has a marital affair, she is prohibited to her husband. Point number 3, if, however, she was raped, there is no such prohibition. The prohibition only applies if her relationship, her extramarital relationship, was consensual. That's Eshes Ish Shezinsa. Concept number 2, Eshes Kohen Shene'ensa. The one exception to the above rule, is the wife of a Kohen who is prohibited to her husband even if she was raped. Even in the case of Ones, even in the case of a non-consensual extramarital relationship, she is prohibited to her husband. Obviously, that's a very difficult concept to grapple with in terms of the ethics, and we, you know, our heart goes out to that really unfortunate, tragic circumstance when that happens. But ignoring the hashkafic elements for now, that's the halacha. The halacha is that Eshes Kohen Shene'ensa is prohibited to her husband. Point number 3. Pesach Pasua Matzazi Tainas Damin. There are different claims that a husband can level against his bride in court, asserting that she was not a virgin on the wedding night, namely the night of Nisuin. Okay, so their first night together, the husband thinks that she is not a virgin for one of 2 reasons. Either because he felt based on experience that the vaginal canal was open, or because there was no blood. There was no vaginal blood. He can come in the next day to court and say, she told me that she never had a relationship with another man, and clearly it was not the case. And he says that they should change her ksuba and do all sorts of different things, as we will discuss. Point number 2, in any case where the husband makes these claims, we must wonder whether the extramarital relationship occurred before Erusin or after Erusin. This is also an important point. Nowadays, we put the ring on the woman's finger, we do the whole thing under the chuppah. So basically, Erusin and Nisuin, those 2 stages of Jewish marriage, all occur at one moment. They occur at the same time. In the times of the Gemara, the Erusin was performed, then they would wait a full year before the Nisuin was done. So there was a full year when she could have had an extramarital relationship that would make her what? Prohibited to her husband. If it was before they were married, then okay. I mean, he may not be happy about it, but she's not prohibited to him. She's not asurilo. If it happened during that year, that interval between the Erusin and Nisuin, she is prohibited. So any time when a husband comes forward and says she's not a virgin, we have to wonder, when did that extramarital relationship occur? Was it before she was married through the stage of Erusin, or was it between the Erusin and the Nisuin? And finally, the final concept is Svek Sveka. Now, this is a huge topic. We'll hopefully do this sugya as well. It's one of the biggest topics in this interval of Daf Tes through Daf Yud Aleph, and it's a major Shas topic. It comes up in all sorts of different areas. Svek Sveka, in short, is a double suffix. In any circumstance, when a prohibition requires the convergence of 2 different factors left in doubt, we have a right to be lenient. It's best defined through the example. Example, okay? This is a classic Yoredei example. There are 2 groups of meat, group X and group Y. Group X is definitely kosher. We don't know whether or not group Y is kosher. Okay? 2 groups. One that is vadai kosher. The other that is in a status of suffix. We don't know. Now, I have a piece of meat in front of me, and I don't know which group the meat came from. It either came from group X, in which case it's kosher, or it came from group Y, in which case, I don't know. So, psak, point number three, it is permissible to eat the meat because of svek sveka. Subject number one, did it come from group X or from group Y? If it came from group X, I'm allowed to eat it. Subject number two, even if I know it came from group Y, it still could be kosher because I don't know what the status of group Y is. That is called a svek sveka, a double suffix, and because there are two factors that need to converge in order to create a prohibition, it's mutter for me to consume the meat. A couple of important pieces of background information before we approach the Gemara. Now, let's take the Gemara in Daf Tes Amud Aleph. It's Amar Yehuda Marav that appears in Daf Tes Amud Beis. Ha'omer Pesach Pasuach Matzasi Ne'eman Le'osra Alav. So we know what Pesach Pasuach is, right? The guy comes after his wedding night, he comes into Beis Din and says, this woman is not a virgin. Ne'eman Le'osra Alav. He is believed to create a prohibition upon himself. She is now prohibited to him. Now, is that a chiddush? Or is that not a chiddush? Is there anything surprising about that? What would we even say intuitively? Should he be believed or should he not? Okay, so good. So what Mordechai is highlighting is that we have general principles for standards of believability in the halacha. One standard is eidach ha'neman b'isurim. So you'd say maybe. Namely, what is eidach ha'neman b'isurim? Let's say I go to somebody's house and they tell me that the food that they're serving me is kosher. Can I believe them? Yes, because of Eidach HaNeman B'Yisurim. According to Rashi and Yevamos, that's actually the reason why Eidach HaNeman B'Yisurim, it seems like. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to eat at anyone's house, you wouldn't be able to trust anyone. The reason why you're able to go to your friend for Shabbos lunch is because of Eidach HaNeman B'Yisurim. The problem is that there's another principle called Ein Davar She'Be'erva Pachos Mishnayim. When it comes to Arayos, when it comes to, we'll loosely define Davar She'Be'erva for now as matters pertaining to the halachos of sexual relationships, Davar She'Be'erva probably, at least in the Salvechik's thought, really more relates to personal status issues. Whether or not a person's a Kohen could potentially be a Davar She'Be'erva, could potentially fit into the sugya of Davar She'Be'erva. But this would certainly be a Davar She'Be'erva, whether or not she is permitted to her husband. So in general, we would say that what do you need in order to testify about her status? Two Eidim. Ein Davar She'Be'erva Pachos Mishnayim. But the Gemara here has a special chiddush, that if he comes along and says, she's prohibited to me, she's believed. Ne'eman le'osra alav. What we're going to try to determine are the conceptual mechanics of that principle. Why is he able to say that she's prohibited to him? What makes him able to say that if, in general, we require two edim? The Gemara continues. Ve'amai, svek sveikahu. Why? There is this double suffix. In order to create a prohibition upon him, we need the convergence of two factors. Why? Chada safek tachtav safek ein tachtav. As we noted, she's only prohibited to him if these nus, if the extramarital affair occurred during that year between the Erisin and Nisuin. So factor number one, it needs to be between Erisin and Nisuin. Ve'imtim zalomar tachtav, and even if it did occur during that interval, safek ba'ones, safek ba'ratzon. Maybe it was consensual. Maybe she was raped. Maybe it was against her will. So A, we needed to be during that interval between Erisin and Nisuin. B, we needed to be consensual. Because we need the convergence of two factors, it's a svek sveka, she should be muteres. So the Gemara answers lo tzricha. No, really it's not dealing with the standard case. What are we dealing with? Tzricha be'eshes kohen. With eshes kohen, why in eshes kohen is there no svek sveka? Which of those svekos drops out if it's an eshes kohen? Because even if it was ones, she's still prohibited. Or ibas ema be'eshes Israel could go into kabil ba'aviyah kiddushin bechusam ibaskim moshanim biyom echad. This is actually another concept that I should have introduced. The Gemara here says the alternative is that there was a case of kiddushin that was accepted before the girl turned 3 years old. Now I don't want to get into the whole question of being bas gimel, being ru'uya labia. We're just going to assume that for now a girl who's 3 years old is considered ready for sexual activity. That's the assumption of the Gemara. Again, how that exactly works, Lamaisa, we'll assume that the maturation process in the times of Chazal was much faster than it is now, which to a degree is a very reasonable assumption. It's slower now than it was even 50 or 100 years ago. But for now, we'll just assume that that's Re'uya Labia. So the Gemara says, if her Kiddushin occurred when she was less than 3 years old, then we know that the extramarital affair occurred during the interval between Erisin and Nisuin. Because it was only during that period that she became Ru'uya Labia. She was only one suffix. Suffix whether it was consensual or whether it was against her will. Fine. Basically what we have so far is that we have this principle that a person can create an Isser upon himself unless there is a Svek Sveka.
If she has a relationship with some man, it's Asur Labao, Asur Labao, you can say that.
Asur Labao, it doesn't create we'll talk about that concept as well, but it does not create an Isser Labao. Only creates an Isser upon himself. You can't create an Isser on someone else. He creates an Isser upon himself. What's up, Ben? So, just one other point. Look at Rashi, Ne'em on the Osra Alav. It's a little bit unclear in the text, but you'll see that Dibra Maskel is underlined. Even though he's implicitly addressing our problem, even though this is only clarified by his own mouth, as opposed to what? As opposed to witnesses, as opposed to Edim. He still believed regarding his own life. Why? That's the principle of Shavya Anafshe Chaticha Di Isura. He makes, literally what it means, is he makes it for himself an usher piece of meat. Now we're going to take the parallel to the Isha very loosely here. I don't want to get in trouble for any like PC issues, but that's the Lashon of the Gemara. Shavya Anafshe Chaticha Di Isura. Aval Hafsida Ksubasa Lo Mehemen. But he's not believed to do what? To make her lose her ksuba. If she has an extramarital affair, she loses her ksuba as well. He's not believed to make her lose her ksuba, according to Rashi. We'll see that that's a dispute later in the Gemara and in Tosfos. Just creates an Isser upon himself. Fine. So we've seen that. That's Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Isura. You can create an Isser upon himself if he says Pesach Pasua Matzasi. Now, so Chaim, I'm really glad you said that. We'll get back to what you said in a second. Now, before we go further in the Gemara, take a look at the first source. It's on page 5. And it's the Yerushalmi in Ksubos Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. Hadad etemar shelo lahafsida ksubasa. When he comes and says Pesach Pasuah Matzasi, he's not believed to make her lose her ksuba. This is source 1 on page 5. Aval lakaima eino rashai, but to keep her, namely to remain married to her, is not permitted. Mishum safek sota, because she may have had an affair. Okay, fine. Yerushalmi goes in this very difficult Yerushalmi Aramaic, effectively affirms the notion that he's not allowed to keep her in that marriage. Now, what qualifier is not there? The Yerushalmi never says that this is Eishas Kohen or Bechuzumi Baskim Malshanim. It never has this exception for Svek Sveka. Now, the Yerushalmi doesn't address the whole topic. But as we will see, some Rishonim, the Rashba, for example, assumes that according to the Yerushalmi, Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Isura works, even in cases of Svek Sveka. Even when there's a Svek Sveka, Shavya Nafshe works. The Ritva is not so sure. He says the Yerushalmi doesn't address it at all. We should leave the possibility open that it wouldn't work, even according to the Yerushalmi. But the Rashba is pretty convinced that Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Isura works by Svek Sveka. Now, what's the dispute between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, assuming that there is a dispute? Should Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Isura work by Svek Sveka, or should it not?
Well, because it's of omission, it doesn't appear that it may work by Yerushalmi.
That's true, but what lies behind it? What, in principle, are the Bavli and the Yerushalmi arguing about? What lies underneath that machlokas, or behind that machlokas? What is it about? So I promise you it's not arbitrary. Right. I promise.
What does the Yerushalmi...
Well, it depends who is the Yisaran. Is it on the woman or is it on the man?
It's vaday on the man. He's only creating an Isser upon himself. We'll talk about whether or not he can create an Isser upon other people as well. That's going to be a major subtopic of Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Isura.
Maybe it's not a real Svek Sveka.
Why?
We show the real, because when you gave the incident of meat, there was a question of whether it was kosher or not kosher.
Right.
On this case, we don't know for sure that she's not kosher. The when you said the Svek Sveka, I wasn't sure
that the Svek Sveka was not kosher.
Because when you said the Svek Sveka the first time, it was a Vaday Sufek. But on her, the way you set it up, I wasn't sure that there was a Vaday Sufek on the first part.
So let's go over the Sveka. It happens to be that some Rishonim hold that the question of the Sufek of whether Ones or Ratzon is not a real Sufek, because you'd know if it was a rape. I think it says Ones Kala Isle. So the Tozar Rush argues that this is not a real Svek Sveka, which is astonishing, because this is the Sugya of Svek Sveka. But there's another way to read the Tos Darash. In any event, the two Svekos are, was it during that interval or was it not during that interval? If it wasn't during the interval, she's good.
Okay.
Even if it was during that interval, was it consensual or was it rape?
Yeah, but you do not know that it actually happened.
He's asserting that it happened. We're saying even if he's right that she's not a virgin, we have a svek sveka.
Who is it? How is the Shami referring to svek sveka here?
But
it doesn't. That's the point. In other words, it works even in cases of svek sveka.
So maybe your Shami doesn't hold it svek sveka.
Good. Okay, fine. Well, so good. Why, namely?
I don't know why.
It doesn't hold a svek.
It doesn't. Either svek sveka doesn't apply in these types of situations, or it doesn't hold that svek sveka.
Perfect. Okay. Perfect. Okay, good, perfect. Let me take a step back on the two options that Ben just offered and explain what he just did methodologically. And this is what he meant. He wasn't explicating everything that was going into his thought process, but very often, now I'll explain methodologically what's going on here. Very often in halacha, and in legal thinking in general, you have the intersection of two principles. I'll give you an example. Kiddushin, this is my stock example. Kiddushin and chalipin. Chalipin is a symbolic kind of kinyan. We do it at every marriage, where you take a handkerchief or a pen nowadays very often, and you do a you pick it up symbolically to affect a transaction. Kiddushin, we know what kiddushin is. We just discussed that. That's the first stage of Jewish marriage. There are two deos in the Gemara on kiddushin daf gimel as to whether or not chalipin can be used to perform kiddushin. We conclude that it does not, but there are two deos in the Gemara there. Now, what is that machlokas about? So there are two options. Either that's machlokas about the nature of chalipin. Is chalipin a form of kesef? If it is, we know that kesef works for kiddushin. You can use money or money monetary equivalent, like a ring, to affect kiddushin. Or is it its own thing? It could be a machlokas about chalipin. Or no, maybe it's not a machlokas about chalipin. Rather, it's a machlokas about kiddush or kiddushin. Kiddushin or kinyan isha, right? Even if chalipin is something else, maybe that something else can work for kiddushin. So here we have the intersection of two halachic principles. One is shavei anaf sheichaticha diyisura. The other is what? Svek sveka. So there are two options in terms of what the machlokas is. Let's start with svek sveka. One option is that this is a machlokas about svek sveka. Perhaps, as Ben suggested, the Yerushalmi holds that svek sveka doesn't exist. There's no such thing as svek sveka. The Bavli holds of this principle of svek sveka. Why is a whole major question. Why should the svek sveka work? It's not. Is it really clear that each suffek is 50-50? If it is, then we understand why svek sveka works, because you have a roof. But you have a majority that it's mutter. But if not, what is the whole mechanics of svek sveka? So maybe the Yerushalmi doesn't hold the svek sveka at all.
You know, in 20 other places, if it holds svek sveka.
Yeah, I mean, you can find.
Okay, maybe this position in the Yerushalmi, Reblazer, whoever's being quoted here, doesn't hold the svek sveka. Or when we do svek sveka, we'll present a more nuanced position. Maybe the Yerushalmi holds that even though there's a concept of svek sveka, there's still a shame suffik. We'll leave that for another time. So that's it's possible that it's a machlokas about svek sveka. That doesn't interest us so much right now. Why? Because we're studying the sugya of Shavi Anaf Sheichaticha D'Yisura. When we study Svek Sveka, we're going to have to revisit that option. So what's the second option? That is the machlokas about Shavi Anaf Sheichaticha D'Yisura. Namely, there is a concept of Svek Sveka, let's say. The Yerushalmi, even the Yerushalmi agrees that there's such a thing as Svek Sveka. The Yerushalmi holds that Shavi Anaf Sheichaticha D'Yisura works despite Svek Sveka. Those just methodologically are our two options. It's a machlokas about svek sveka. It's a machlokas about shavi nafshei chaticha d'yisura. That is a basic methodological tool that every lamdin needs to have that we'll revisit a number of times. Very often, there are those two intersecting principles, and you have to determine whether an issue is about one or the other, or sometimes both, but at the very least, one or the other. You always have those two options. Now, if it's a machlokas about shavi nafshei chaticha d'yisura, everybody agrees that there's a concept of svek sveka. The question is whether or not shavi nafshei chaticha d'yisura works nonetheless. What are there any thoughts, premonitions on what exactly that might be contingent on? I happen to think that, and we'll see this later on, whether this is a svek sveka issue or a shavi anafshei issue is a machlokas rishon. It's not explicit. I think it's a machlokas between the Rashba and the Ritva. We'll see that later on. But assuming that it's a shavi anafshei issue, what should that be contingent on? What should shavi anafshei work by svek sveka or should it not? Any preliminary thoughts or... All right, so let's go weiter in the... If there are any thoughts, great. If not, let's go weiter in the Gemara. We'll, what are your thoughts, Ben? Something's...
I don't know. It was something that Chaim said earlier. It's the man... because he's taking it out of the realm of svek sveka by making this on himself.
In what sense?
In the sense that he's not... He's saying...
To him, it's vada.
Right.
To him, it's vada.
It, sort of.
That's a formulation that the Pnei Yehoshua uses. But I don't want to go there yet. I think the formulation can be made clearer in terms of what the issue is. Let's highlight it through another issue. Once we have the two issues on the table, let's try to develop in principle our exploration of the concept of Shabi and Afshei Chatikah Yisura in terms of its mechanics. Okay, so the Gemara next asks, I'm sorry the print is not so clear. It was clearer on my computer screen, I promise. But the Gemara asks, my Kamash Malan, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down, second word on the line. My Kamash Malan, what are you really teaching me? Shabi and Afshei Chatikah Yisura, what are you teaching me? Tanina, I already learned it in a Brisa. Ha'omer le'isha kidashti. This is a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Kiddushin on Daf Samach Gimel. We're gonna explore this Mishnah further later on. Ha'omer le'isha kidashti. He says to her, I performed Kiddushin on you. We were standing under the chuppah. I said, Hareat mikudeshesli, we're married. He says to her, we're married. Hi'omeres lo kidashtani. She says, what are you talking about? I don't know who you are. I've never seen you before. We are not married at all. We're on page 3, Daf Tesam and Aleph. I'm sorry about that. I apologize. Page 3, Daf Tesam and Aleph. Again, 7 lines down. Okay. Second word on the line. He says, we're married. She says, I have no idea what you're talking about. He muteres bikrovav, but who also bikrovo seha? Now, can he marry her sister? He can't, because he's attesting, he's certifying that he married this woman. If he says he married her, he can't go ahead and marry her sister. Can she marry his brother? Yeah. She certainly can. She's saying, I have no idea who you are. I've never seen you before. I don't know who you are. So she can certainly go ahead and marry his brother. So now we already know. There's a concept of Shavya and Afshei. Chaticha di Surah. Right? He is believed to say that they're married such that he can no longer marry any of her relatives. He has created an Isra upon himself, right?
That's why, when you said before about being a nader,
So the Gemara asks, why do you need this example to teach me that he can create a prohibition upon himself? We already have the Mishnah in Kiddushin that tells me he can create an Isra upon himself. So the Gemara goes and says, Mahu desema. I would have said that it only works in the case of Kiddushin. Why does it only work in the case of Kiddushin? Hasam devadai kimlai. He knows with certainty.
The case of Kiddushin is opposed to what?
The case of Kiddushin is where he says, I married you, and she denies it, as opposed to the case where he says, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. I'm sorry if that wasn't clear. Okay? In that case of Kiddushin, where he says, I married you, he knows very clearly, with absolute clarity and certainty, whether or not he stood under the chuppah with this woman. He knows whether or not he proposed to her, he knows whether or not he married her. Aval hacha, make a mutulo kimlai. Maybe here I'll say he doesn't really know. How does he know with certainty whether or not she's a virgin? Whether or not she had a previous sexual relationship? How would he possibly know that? Make a mutulo kimlai. So maybe in Kiddushin, where he knows very clearly, I married this woman, he's believed to create an iser. Here, where he's not so sure, we'd say he's not believed. Doesn't work. Kamash Malan, the Gemara says, therefore our Gemara comes and tells us that he is still believed. Despite that Havamina. Now, how do we learn that?
He's believed for himself.
For himself. Just like in Kiddushin, he's believed for himself. Now, how do we learn that Kamash Malan? The Havamina is Meka Mudulo Kimla, he doesn't really know. And now we're saying Kamash Malan.
Don't we have a Rove on Menoshe
Yisrael? It doesn't have to do with Rove. It doesn't have to do with Rove. Because Rove is not for Shabi and Afshei Chatikah Yisura. Rove is just a way of being Mavarer. Two basic options in the Kamash Malan. This is also a basic mythological tool. Two options. The Havamina is he doesn't...
Either one, he does know.
Good. Or...
Or number two, even though he doesn't know...
Perfect. Excellent.
To say that he still is...
Excellent. Whenever you have a Havamina and a Maskana, this is another good basic mythological tool. We have two already in our first shiur. Whenever you're rejecting a Havamina, you can either... entirely reject the conceptual premise of the Havamina. You think he doesn't know? No, he does know. He knows. Or you maintain the conceptual premise of the Havamina, you're just rejecting the next step, the extension, or the application, or the conclusion. So he doesn't know, but nonetheless, Shavi Nafshei Chatikah Yisura works. Now that happens to be a machlokas rishonim. Turn to...
Which
Kamash Malan it is. Turn to page 6 for a second. Source 4 is Rashi on Daf Tesam and Beis. I'm glad that I reprinted it because the Rashi script is very difficult to read in the Gemaras that we have. Afana nami tanina to toin pesa pasuach matzasi osra alav. If he claims pesa pasuach matzasi, He can make her prohibited. V'lo amrinon lo kimle. And we don't say lo kimle. What does that sound like? Does it sound like he knows, or like even though he doesn't know? Does it sound like lo amrinon lo kimle? Does it sound like he knows, or even though he doesn't know? Shavi nafshe chadik disur. I think it's a little ambiguous, to be honest.
What does lo kimle actually mean?
He doesn't really know. He's not certain. So here it can mean lo amrinon lo kimle. Namely, we don't say he doesn't know because why? Because he does know. Or lo amrinon lo kimle. We apply shavi nafshe, and we're not concerned about the argument of lo kimle. Rashi's a little bit ambiguous, but you'll see that the next rishon is pretty clear. Look at the Shulchan Mikubetzas in source 5. Vida, Sherashi Zal Ba'i Lefrushe, Dechi Ka'amar Kamash Malan, Perusho Kamash Malan, De Apag Abdullo Kimle, Asura Alav. That's the way he learns Rashi. I don't think it's obvious in Rashi at all, but the way Rav Tzal Ashkenazi reads Rashi is that even though he doesn't know, he's not sure, still Shabian Avshe Chatir de Yisura. Why? To Mikol Makom, Haka'amar De Kimle. Because he asserted that he knows, he asserted that it's clear that she's not a virgin. He asserts that he knows. V'shavi anavshei chatichah d'yisura. Look at what he says. De'ein lefarish kamash malon dekimle. Don't tell me that kamash malon means dekimle, that he really does know. De'ibin nasoi pshita dekimle. Because if he was married already, he definitely knows. He knows the trade. He knows the business. He's a baki. And if he's never been married before, havale de lo kimle, he definitely doesn't know. That's the assertion of the Shittim Gubetzas. But that's not obvious. Look at source 6. This is the continuation of the Shittim Gubetzas. Miha ritva zal kosav. What does the ritva say? Vizela shono. Maika mashmalan de shavi anavshe chatik di sura, tanina, vchule. Ad aval hacha meka mutu lo kimle. Kamashmalan. This is the second line. Pirish kamashmalan de kivan de toin kin bebari mekam kimle. The Shittim Gubetzas says what's going on is that he doesn't know, but we still say Shavi Anavshei Chaticha D'Yisura. The Ritva says, he knows what he's talking, clearly he knows what he's talking about. If he's asserting with total clarity that it's true, he must really know. He must know. Two ways of learning the Kamash Malan. And we find this in the expression of another issue. Look at the Rashba on Daf 7, on Source 7. Who is qualified to say Shavei Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura? Source 7. V'yesh Misha Omer, some claim, to Loshna Nasoi V'Loshna Panoi. It doesn't matter whether or not he was married before. Either way, he's believed to say it. To Ha'iyu Ka'amar D'Kimle B'Milsa. V'ein Ma'achilam La'adam Davar Shehu Asur Alav. Ein Ma'achilam La'adam Davar Shehu Asur Alav. We don't give somebody food that is prohibited to him. That is a language that appears in the context of Nidar. Ein Ma'achilam La'adam Davar Shehu Asur Alav. Okay? So the Ritva says, it doesn't matter whether or not... Exactly, if he says, I'm never going to eat apples, you can't give him apples. So now the Ritva is saying, it doesn't matter whether or not he's been married... Sorry, this is the Rashba. It doesn't matter whether or not he's been married before. He's able to do it. But look at the Ritva, the next source. Look at the... Just for now, we'll just read the second underline. Let's take it from the beginning. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Omer Pesach, source 8. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Omer Pesach, Pasu, Matzazi, Nam, Ala, Osra, Alav. Pirush Rabbi Elazar Tarti Kamashman. He's teaching us two things. Chada de Pesach Pasuah Milsa de Kim Lehu. One is that Pesach Pasuah is something that he can know. We'll leave that aside for now. The Pirush Pesamach. But Roy Hu Lihios Neman Ozra Alav. Afilu Bebacher. Bekoshkein Nasui. That underlined section. Second underline right there. It doesn't matter whether he's a Bachor or a Nasui. It's going to work. So the Ritva is asserting as well that it works. Bein Bebacher Bein Nasui. Okay, so the Rashba and the Ritva are both asserting that. But I'm sorry, go back to source 7 for one moment. Look at the second line. V'yesh misha omer to davka nasoi. That's the Rashba in the second line. There are those who say that who can claim Shavi Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura? Only someone who's been married before. Why? Because he knows. He knows what's going on. He can tell whether or not she's a virgin. Only somebody who's been married before. I'm a bachor, eino neman, kamosha ektor levanino, but a bachor's not neman. So we now have this machlokas rishon. Does kimle mean that he knows what's going on? Do we say that the only person who's allowed to claim Shavei Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura is someone who's married? Or no? Even though he doesn't know, even though he doesn't know with any certitude, with any clarity.
What happens if he's a not married gynecologist?
Good, Shaila.
He could be an expert, yeah.
So that would be a question of whether, that's always the question of halachic formalism. You know, do we assert, and also did he like examine her before the, on their wedding night? That's not the most romantic way of going about that.
But that's the minority
So yeah, well, it's always a question of halachic formality. But we just say lo plug, is he married, is he not married, or do we assess it based on his expertise? So again, so now we have these two issues, two machlokos in that we've seen so far. Number one, can shavei nafshei chatichah d'yisura trump svek sveka? According to the Bavli, the answer is no. According to the Yerushalmi, the answer is yes.
We don't know. Maybe.
Oh, possibly. Okay? Possibly. Again, we said we don't know what the Yerushalmi even holds, and the Yerushalmi may not hold of svek sveka. But assuming that the Yerushalmi does recognize svek sveka, we have two possibilities.
If one, Yerushalmi doesn't hold svek sveka, then you can't say it overrides this.
Absolutely. Which is why we're we noted there are two ways of learning the machlokes. One is a svek sveka issue.
Sure,
that we'll revisit when we learn svek sveka. But the other alternative is that it's a question about shavei anafshei chaticha
t'yisura. Are you saying that when it's Bavli, it's Rabbana?
It's different.
Different
we find disputes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi all the time. So it's different Tanaim Amorai. We'll assume that it's the Amorai Eretz Yisrael versus the Amorai Bavel. So, and two, the second issue is, what happens in a case where he doesn't really know? We have some Rishonim, we have one, he's not a Bucky, he doesn't really know with full certitude. We have some Rishonim asserting that it will work. Other Rishonim asserting that it won't. So what underlies the second issue? Or what underlies both? But we thought about the first one. What underlies this issue? Does he have to know with certitude, with clarity, in order for Shavei Anafshei Chatichah D'Yisura to work? Or can we say, you know what? Even if he's not so clear, even if he doesn't know entirely,
he can
answer it for himself. It will still work. What should that be contingent on? Again, I promise you, it's not arbitrary. Danny, come on. You always come through for me.
Not like this.
You always come through for me.
I mean, Svek is also has to do with it. It's a suffix on what he...
Yeah.
If it's the issue of suffix on what he knows and what doesn't know. Suffix is...
Suffix is what his own mind determines. If he feels that way, then regardless of the truth.
Okay, what should that be contingent? Regardless of the truth or not, what should that be contingent on?
No, it's contingent it's upon whether you can make that suffix.
No, not above.
Let's assume the svekos exist. The svekos exist.
Whether he can tell the difference between if the,
that doesn't
look,
matter.
A svek only works if the suffix is to him. If he has no way to tell the difference between the two things.
No, there's vadei suffix. Again, according to some, if he has no way of telling the difference, then shavei anafshei doesn't work.
Right.
But according to others, it does. I would suggest that both of these issues, at least on a basic level, go to the very heart of the nature of shavei anafshei chaticha d'yisura, the very mechanics of how shavei anafshei chaticha d'yisura works. And there are two basic possibilities. We will note later on that there are more nuanced middle possibilities, as there usually are. But basically speaking, there are two possibilities. One option in shavei anafshei chaticha d'yisura is exactly what Chaim was saying before. It's a neder. Do we believe him? No, we don't believe him. When you say, apples are usher to me, is it that we're believing you that somehow the apples were injected with chelev and that they're usher to you? No, you created an isser through yourself through a concept called hafla'a. There's a halachic concept that sometimes, by uttering certain words and with certain kavanos, you can create certain halachic statuses, and you can take a neder and you can make something usher upon you. You can say... A person can say that I'm never going to eat apples anymore, and they're prohibited to me. And once he says that, once he takes that nether, once he takes that oath, once he takes that vow, he's no longer allowed to eat apples. Here he says, this Isha is Asurali. And it, just like a nether, Shavei Anafshei Chaticha D'Yisura, that's one option. We don't believe him. We think he's wrong.
It's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant. He's created the Isra upon himself. What's the alternative? The alternative of Shavei Anafshei Chaticha D'Yisura is a form of Ne'emonos. It's a form of belief. We believe him. Now, within a very limited framework, in general, this gets to the whole question of the standards and the requisite threshold for establishing halachic fact. In general, if I want to establish a fact for somebody else, what do I need? I need edim. I need some form of proof. I need some form of real proof. But perhaps, when I'm just dealing with myself, and it's only going to impact me, it's not going to impact anyone else, perhaps we change our standards for halachic believability. When the stakes are...
Especially in Kiddushin. Wouldn't you think so? We're stricter with Kiddushin than we'd be with other places?
So I would say Adrabah. In other words, we'd have higher standards for Kiddushin.
Higher standards.
So he has to say... Right, so he has to say...
He has an emonis. I mean, that's why one person...
Because he put something on himself.
I think the why? Hold on one sec, because in general we require to be have edus kiyum for kiddushin as opposed to edus.
Oh, no, but you don't want to have. He doesn't want to be part of the issur of what it could happen if she already had beer but couldn't have improved.
So you're saying because he doesn't want it? We'll assume that in most cases, I think part of the assumption of Shavi and Avshach HaTikat Yisur is that in most cases a person does not want to create prohibitions upon himself.
Especially with his wife, right?
Okay, especially with his wife. Kavachomer with his wife, okay?
Right.
But the idea is that when it comes to establishing a halachic fact for others, we have very high standards. You're going to require two edim. Or some other halachic mechanism, whether it be Migo or Chazaka or something. When it comes to establishing just fact for myself and Yisur upon myself, we'll believe you. Even though you're only one person. Those are two very different and basic ways of viewing Shavi Nafshei Chatichat Yisur. That's our basic hakira here. What are the mechanics of Shavi Nafshei Chatichat Yisur? Do we view Shavi Nafshei Chatichat Yisur next to Shavua, next to Nedar, next to Nazirus, next to Erechin, next to the standard forms of Hafla, when you make an Isur upon yourself through your Dibur, through speech? Or Shavi Nafshei Chatichat Yisur belong in the category of Eidos, and Chazaka, and Migo, and Shtar, and all the other ways of establishing halachic fact. Now, yeah.
Isn't Nidri Yisr, when you have a Nidri Yisr, it's different than Nidri and something else, you can't really take away, now she has certain rights, mm-hmm. besides the Ksuba. And but if you have a Nidri Yisr, you're impinging on her rights. And
so,
Nidri Yisr,
Ona.
You can't do that.
How do you deal with Ona? That's a great question. Well, we're gonna touch on that. We're gonna touch on that later. Particularly when we address the Gemara, the Mishnah
and
Nedarim.
And the thing that struck me is the Lashon of Nedarim is Pesach. When you try to get out of Nedarim, it always says
Pesach. That's an ironic. There's nothing to do, right? Matzah Pesach is that's totally separate. But what Chaim's asking is, let's say he's just creating a prohibition upon himself. Every man has an obligation to provide or to spend time with his wife in the form of marital intercourse. So even if he just creates an Isra upon himself, that's ipso facto affecting her. How can he do that? It's a great question. We're going to Achronim raise that question, and we'll talk about that later when we talk about the Mishnah and Nedarim. We talk about the potential for Shavi Nafshei Chatichat Yisur to impact other people, which happens sometimes, even though technically the whole principle is that I can only do something for myself.
I just want to ask a question. If he saw there wasn't any blood, and he was previously married, wouldn't he try to ascertain from his wife and yell at his wife and take it out on his wife, and therefore
maybe he would. She denies it. She says it's not true. She says
he could tell the way she comes back at him.
So let's say he doesn't believe her, right?
Yeah.
And then he comes to Beis Din the next day and says comes to the rabbinical court the next day and says, look, I married her under the premise that she's a basula, a virgin. She claims that she is. I know that she isn't. So what are we going to do about it? That's exactly the case. He does confront her and she says, Lo hayudvarim me'olam. She says, it never happened. I don't know what you're talking about. I never had any extramarital affair. The next day, he comes into the court and says, she's lying.
What is the ritual? Anybody who says that in the machlokes between Rishonim, where they said whether a person who's not been married can do it, why can't they just have her come for somebody who's a baki? To
assess?
Yeah.
They already had marital relations. They had... Right. He was boler the night before.
Two points. One, the individual's creating Isur upon himself.
Yeah.
But it's not only his own behavior, he's affecting the other party.
You're machaving to another great mind in the room. And he's a relative of yours. That's what Chaim was saying. That's what Chaim was saying before.
A. B, he might also have an ulterior motive. Buyer's remorse or something of that nature.
But he still has to pay the ksuba. They said
right.
He could have the ksuba.
No, the ksuba he has.
Ksuba has to.
But he got the derer.
So we raise that issue. Just for simplicity's sake, for now, the Gemara on Daf Yud Amud Aleph says, Chazaka inam torei psuda mafsida. You don't marry a woman just to get rid of her. That's the assumption of the Gemara. That's true. But he can always divorce her. He doesn't. Once he's paying the ksuba anyway, he can just divorce her.
He pays the ksuba and she's not.
There's no distinction.
We'll talk about whether or not he's believed to get rid of her ksuba. For now, we're assuming, like Rashi, that he's not believed to get rid of her ksuba. So whether he just chooses to divorce her, or he comes forward to Beis Din and makes this whole mess in Beis Din, which is probably messy and embarrassing, he has to pay her ksuba anyway. So if he has buyer's remorse, he can, again, I don't like using that expression, but forgive the application, but he can just divorce her.
Let's go back to the question on the table.
Yeah. We're good? Just
say it again? We're good?
So, Ben, you have a point? Or?
Go back. I have a knowledge question.
We'll add it later, yeah, because just for the sake of time. Now, So we outline these two general approaches to Shavi and Afshei Chatik Yisur. Either it belongs in the category of Ne'emanus, he's believed, the threshold of Ne'emanus is lower in his own domain, or it's like a neder. Now let's revisit our issues, okay? Let's take the second one. Kimle or lo kimle? Does he need to know with clarity and certainty, or does he not?
Depends.
Now it's obvious, right?
Right.
Depends on what?
Well,
depends on the nature of Shavi Nafshei Chatik Yisura. If Shavi Nafshei Chatik Yisura is Ne'emanus, if we're believing him for his own domain, then obviously we have to have some reason that he can determine whether or not she's a Pesula. If he has no clarity, no certainty, we have no reason to think that he knows. He's taking a shot in the dark. It's a total guess. Why would we believe him? Why would we believe him? And that's why there's one day on the Rashba that says that it's specifically somebody who's been married before that's able to do Shavi Nafshei Chatik Yisura. Somebody who knows. Somebody who has some clarity on the issue. Yet, if it's a neder, if it's hafla'a, it doesn't matter whether or not it's true. It doesn't matter whether or not it's true. We don't care whether or not it's true because we're not believing him. He just like he can say, apples are asurim to me, just like he can create all sorts of different exotic isurim upon himself, he's allowed to say that his wife is asur to him.
We're believing him if he's experienced. But if he's not experienced, we're not believing him.
So that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that according to the first position, that it's believability, right. We believe him if he's experienced.
Neither we don't believe...
Exactly. That's exactly the point. We believe him if he's experienced. We don't believe him if he's not. Therefore, only a nasui can say, only someone who's been married before can say, pesa pasua matzasi.
I don't know. Just logically doesn't make sense to me because even if he was married before, it doesn't mean he's an expert.
Okay, we'll assume...
There's all kinds of biological reasons.
Not like
that. Explanations. You know...
We'll leave the biological reasons aside for a moment, okay? Let's just, for simplicity's sake, assume expert versus non-expert.
What if she says, no, you're wrong. Why is he, if it's an issue in the manas, why is he believing?
Because he's creating an issur upon himself.
No. If it's an issue of belief.
He's not believed regarding her. He would never be believed to give her skila. I mean, obviously, because you need two edim there. But
she believed the same matter.
My point is as follows: because the domain is only in terms of creating an isser upon himself, because he's only creating a prohibition upon himself. Our standard is: if he asserts it, we believe him. In other words, for her, there's no prohibition. For now, we'll assume that. For her, there's no prohibition. For her, she's fine. She has no prohibition. If they were to cohabit, there would be an isser for him and no isser for her. Whether or not there would be lifnei iver lo titein michshol is an interesting question. I think that's addressed in the poskim in Yerodea, in the first siman of Yerodea. That's part of the question. Let's say she has no isser. He asserts that there's an isser. Now, would there?
What would there be lifnei iver?
If she lives with him,
it's an issur of lifnei iver for her.
For living with him. Maybe we won't get into lifnei iver right now.
Das or not?
But my point is that because we're only dealing with his own domain, and the issur is only for him, he's believed. That's our threshold of ne'emanus.
It's an arbitrary construct. It's its own domain, so we make it.
We'll talk about.
Sounds very.
No, it only impacts him.
I can't understand.
That's not arbitrary.
It does. We talked about that.
Because indirectly it impacts her.
All I'm saying is that the concept of neder makes a lot more sense to me than
I guess it's clearer, but we'll see that it doesn't. Strict neder has a lot of problems with it. We'll have a more nuanced version of the neder side of what we'll call the hischaivos side.
Right.
But there are problems with it. So it is likely that again, just because there are other cases where we find this. I don't want to get into all the details now, but.
Just
give me 1 second. Where we have different thresholds of ne'emanos for different realms of halacha. And this is a new realm of halacha, namely personal matters that only impact you, may indirectly impact somebody else.
You came from that position, right? I mean...
No, but the Eindavashim Erev Pachas, so you need two. But for his own domain, the standard is lower. The standard is lower for his own domain. And again, for his purposes, we don't care about what she says. He's believed in his assertion. Those are the two stuff. Now let's turn to the Sveksveka issue, okay?
I wouldn't say the standard's lower. It's more strict.
The threshold is lower.
Right.
The threshold is lower. Right. Sveksveka. Should Sveksveka make a difference for Shavi Nafshei Chatik Yisura?
Not the nether.
If it's a nether, who cares? There could be a million factors. There could be a million reasons to assume that he's wrong. There could be a million reasons to assume that he's wrong. It doesn't matter. Whether he's wrong or right is irrelevant. The point is, he created an iser upon himself. He created a prohibition upon himself.
Yeah, but there is an iser.
Give me one second. If it's a ne'emanos issue, if it's about believability, then we may believe him to say Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, but we still have a spek sveka on our hands. Maybe, okay, maybe she's not a virgin. Maybe you're right. But it could have been before Erison. You don't know that. You're certainly not a bucky enough to determine when it happened. And we don't know whether it was... He won't know. And we don't know whether it was Ones or Ratzon. Mukaseit is a question addressed in the Rishonim. I don't want to get into Mukaseit now. It is a question addressed in the Rishonim. Big time. Tosfos and the Ramban, they all get into that. So those two questions that we have at the outset, those two issues, are very likely contingent on this conceptual question about the very mechanics and nature of Shavu'ot Nafshei Chatikah D'Yisurah. Is it Neder or is it... Or is it Ne'emanos? Now, running out of time. Let me just note that. Let's go back to source 2 for one moment. And we'll close with this. In general, we're going to try to go from 50 minutes to an hour. We'll close with the Shita Mekubetzes, and we'll pick up with some other stuff next time. Also, we didn't do this time, but next time, if people are interested, if I can have email addresses, if people are interested, I can just send up maybe summaries of what we've done in case people have missed this year and stuff like that. I know there are some people who plan on coming next week who missed this week. I'll try to just send out a summary of what was covered, because things will build on each other. It's like mathematics. Look at what the Shittim Kubetza says. This Chakira that we're raising, which we ourselves brainstormed and came up with in this room, is hardly a new idea. And it's very popular in the Achronim. And as we'll see now, even in the early Achronim, late Rishonim, it's really made explicit. Look at source 2. Ne'em on the Osra Alav. Look what the Shittim Kubetza says. Milsei de Rabbi Elazar, Misparish Betrei Anfi. This notion of Shavu'ot Nafshei Mechatikah D'Yisurah can be explained in two ways. O deka amar ne'em on the Osra Alav. Either he's saying that he's believed to create an Isra upon him. Pirish de Haba'al ne'eman le'osra alav. What does that mean? That he's believed to create an Isra on him? Now, check out these words. Ukigon de asi ba'al le'beidina, kidei le'osra alav. He comes to Beis Din with the intent of creating an Isra upon him. With that intent. This is a big chiddush, which we'll revisit later on. Ulohachi ne'eman, and this is why he's believed. Why? To hashavi anashe chatira di yisura, because of Shavu'ot Nafshei Chatikah D'Yisurah, d'kivan d'asi lebeidina, uka'amar d'harehi asura alav, eino chafetz ba. He says he doesn't want her, he's not interested, he's interested in creating an Isra, this is what you were speaking about. Harehi ne'esra alav, she's an Isra upon him. Now here are the key words. Fa'af agav d'hi muteres lo midina, even though the real halacha is that she's permissible, muteres lo, why is there still a prohibition? Havalei, ka'osra alav davar hamuter. It's like creating a prohibition upon yourself of something that is entirely permissible. Where else do we have that? By another, by hischaivus, and I am totally allowed to eat apples. There's nothing in the Torah that says that I can't. If I make a neder that I can't eat apples, I have an osar upon me. Davar amudrili.
That's doesn't work for kimlay. The other argument.
So he's gonna address kimlay later on. Inami, second possibility. Dehachar ka'ami Rabbi Lazar. Omer pesa pasuk masasi ne'eman. He's believed, and what does he believe? He's only believed to create an Isra upon himself. Just skip to the final underline. The alternative is, this is not Oser Davar HaMutter Lo. This is not that he's coming in with the intent of creating a prohibition, that it's his chayvos, that he's trying to make an Isra, like declaring that apples are Asurim to me, they're prohibited to me. This is Ne'emanos, he's believed. He's only believed in terms of creating an Isra upon himself. He's not believed in terms of making her lose her ksuba or creating all sorts of interesting ramifications for other people. For that, he would need two Eidim. He is believed.
No, he's not.
Believed. He's not believed. This second possibility...
He's believed that it's an Isra on himself.
That's the first possibility. But the second possibility is that he's believed Pesach Pasuach, but only for his own domain. The threshold of Ne'emanos within his own personal Dal Ramos.
And what is Pesach Pesuch? Then she suffers liability.
That's.
But he cannot.
He can't actually punish her. She might be.
That's what we would assume intuitively. And
he could know it Bandai and she's still not high.
Exactly, because of the different thresholds of Ne'amanos. I agree 100%. We'll see. Intuitively, you would say... We just gave two nafkaminas.
Yeah.
We gave two nafkaminas. Kimle velo kimle.
Yeah.
Can he do it if he knows or if he doesn't know?
Okay, but let's say point to the one who says, doesn't make a difference.
A nafkamina, by definition, has to deal with two conceptual approaches. A nafkamina is a pragmatic case, a difference, demonstrating the difference between two conceptual approaches.
Okay, so you have two conceptual approaches, and what's a nafkamina kala?
I'll give you two nafkaminas.
Okay.
One, cases of svek sveka. Does it work or does it not work? If you say that it's neder, it works. If you say that it's ne'emanos, that he's believed, it doesn't work. That's a nafkamina. That's
only according to the Talmud Bavli.
No. I'll highlight this further. I'm gonna let we're approaching on an hour, but I'll explain this for you. Maybe we're gonna pick up with nafkaminas next time. We're gonna hit nafkaminas big time, and we'll see that there are two major categories of nafkaminas. One, the scope of Shavei Nafshei Chatika D'Yisura. That's what we addressed today. Two, the impact or ramifications of Shavei Nafshei Chatika D'Yisura. What happens once you shave Nafshei? That's exactly what we were touching on before. What Mr. Rise was touching on before. So we'll explore both of those categories of nafkaminas. But for now, we're dealing with a basic conceptual distinction between two different ways of viewing Shavei Nafshei Chatika D'Yisura. Is it believability? He's believed at least within his own domain, or is it just his chayvus, it's like a nether. Okay, we'll pick up Ezra Shem next time. We'll highlight some of the issues further.
Do you want to keep the sheets?
Do you want the...